Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. It really is a conundrum.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, football and the brain. To watch or not to watch, that's Bob's dilemma.
The conflict is this. I've been a football fan since I was old enough to watch football. But knowing that the high probability of doing long-term damage to a human brain is complicating for the whole affair, right? Because it's a fun game. There's strategy. It tests stamina and strength and speed and all those kinds of things. But of course, all through all this, we're assuming that people are wearing helmets and that protects their heads, and they're wearing lots of pads and gear that protect their bodies. And then, sure, there may be an occasional bone break or something like that, but nothing that doesn't heal. And now we know that there is damage that, in fact, doesn't heal.
There is this other issue, right? That, I mean, there's been an escalation, too, in the potential damage, paradoxically, as a result of the equipment that was designed to keep people safer.
Yep.
The more padding you put on that's designed to protect, the better the quality of the helmets that you put on, the more that it affords a feeling of invincibility that causes you to go running full tilt into somebody else.
Yep.
And now, not only are the people tackling bashing their heads literally into the people they're tackling, but the impact itself is causing that people's heads to their brains to rattle around in the fluid that they're in inside their heads.
Yeah.
This now creates a trade-off that I think no one expected. I think everyone expected that they were comparing apples to apples, meaning by choosing to play football in high school, college, or even professionally, you were making certain trade-offs in the present, meaning I might get hurt in the present. I might be on crutches. I might have some pain while I'm playing, but that after the decision to stop playing is made, that damage basically goes away, and you then live the rest of your life having been someone who played the sport, and not that there was going to be long-term mental impairment as a result of something that you did as a youth.
Yeah. I mean, I think even for a long time in our society, concussions, which used to be referred to as having your bell rung, was something that was seen as temporary and recoverable, and then you'd be fine. And of course, for all appearances in the short term, that seemed to be the case. But with increasing amount of science in this recent study that came out from Boston University just in July of this year, showed that nearly all of professional football players' brains that were examined at autopsy, nearly all of them had evidence of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I mean, just for me personally, I'm having a difficult time continuing my enthusiasm for football when there are these things that are happening right before my very eyes and I'm sort of cheering for them. And I think, you know, as a culture, as a society, you know, we have always promoted athleticism in schools, I mean, in high schools and colleges, and that this was a character building way of helping young people develop teamwork, develop skill, develop tenacity, develop a sense of pride and accomplishment and those kinds of things. But we didn't see it as creating physical dangers.
Right. So we get back to Bob. Poor Bob is conflicted. What are some of the factors that might drive people to want to play football in high school, in college, where there's even more risk, or yet professionally? Some of them are monetary, but some of them also have to do and are related to the money with just the popularity of the sport. There is a desire in many people to have other people see them as being important members of society, and athletics, particularly in this era, has created a way for people to get status and recognition. And so here's part of the conundrum. If you participate in that social structure as a fan, you are both enjoying entertainment at the expense of people who are damaging their bodies and brains for your pleasure, and at the same time, buying into a system that encourages more people to seek that status and the potential financial gains that might come with it. And so you now become complicit in a choice that other people are making that could damage their long-term health.
Yeah.
So Bob, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to stop?
No, this is, I mean, it really is a conundrum, you know, because there is such a long history. I mean, not just for me, but I mean, for the sport in American culture, it's just odd to think about, well, I can't participate in it, especially again when I, you know, develop such an affinity for the game, not realizing the long-term damage that people were doing by playing.
You know, so we have this kind of legacy of well, you know, I have this kind of conceptual attachment to something that's been going on historically for a long time. Am I allowed to change my opinion about this in ways that would demote the sport?
Yeah.
And so one argument would be, we've been doing this for so long, we just got to keep doing this.
Right.
You know, and the other argument is, well, wait a second, now that we've learned something, maybe we ought to actually rethink that history.
Because I do think it's like, well, you know all of this, and then you're still participating in the events, and then so what does that mean?
But that's what's interesting about the psychology of it, right?
Yeah.
Because I have to consider, okay, so what would be the consequences one way or another if I didn't go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would that just be my making a statement when I don't know who I'd be making it to because no one would even know I wasn't there? So is it a personal, just for me, I can't participate in this thing?
But that's how these things become movements, right?
Yeah.
You could easily say, well, I have a moral opposition to eating animals, but what difference would it make? Who would notice one fewer person eating animals? Unless there were more of them. At which point you might start seeing more vegetarian products on the shelves
and
other kinds of things that happen with network effects where you have bigger groups of people engaging in something. And so being the first person to stop watching football may primarily get you ridicule. But, you know, to the extent that emboldens other people to take the same stand, then over time that could potentially have an impact.
Next week, it's The Value of Boredom with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.